views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, I have the honor of talking with Maureen St. Germain, who I had on my show back in 2017 when she released an incredible book called Waking Up in 5D, which is still on my all-time favorite resource list, by the way. And now she's all set to release yet another book this week. Maureen is a prolific transformational teacher, best-selling author, and gifted intuitive. She has over 25 years of experience in the area of mystical and sacred traditions. Known as the practical mystic, Maureen is a facilitator of spiritual knowledge for contemporary life. Her interest in the Akashic Records resulted in her being granted access to this dimension that has been off limits to most of humanity for millions of years. Maureen's new book, Opening the Akashic Records, will be released on April 5th, 2019, so right around the corner. And it's actually available on Amazon for pre-sale right now. So you don't even have to wait till then. You can go right there and get it. Maureen's passion is supporting individuals in their personal expansion and spiritual awakening. Maureen, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. You know, one of the reasons why I like joining you on your show is the fact that I raised four sons. And for a good portion of that time, I was a single mom. Mm-hmm. So I have a big soft spot in my heart for moms in general.
Yes. And you definitely would be a vibrant and powerful one. So love having you here as a role model.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that, because it's always wonderful for people to hear how you might relate to them beyond, above and beyond all the other things that we're going to discuss. So thanks. So I think we should probably dive right into this topic of Akashic Records, because it's a big one. And so I thought we'd start with you telling us what they are and why so many people are writing and talking about them.
Okay. So the Akashic Records are a vast storehouse of information and resources for humanity. They were created after creation, and they were created for the purpose of examining the experiences that one has had, and to have some kind of an outside record that was like a 360-degree view rather than just your version of what happened or someone else's version of what happened. And the original purpose was not related to humans' usage at all, as much as being used as a resource for life review after death and so on. Later, much later, shamans learned to access it and help people with the ability to reach into that field of energy and pull information. And finally, more recently, since the past, I would say 20 years, there was a dispensation that was granted to allow anyone to get into the Akashic Records and anyone to access the information in order to improve their life. So the purpose of this release, if you will, is soul growth, but also tie it to the idea that we're at the end of an age, we're at the end of an era, and everyone is stepping up. And one of the things that I like to say to people is our technology has, our spirituality has not caught up with our technology.
Right.
And what I mean by that is if you were the head of a plant company that produced some kind of food that people eat, and you discovered an additive that you'd been putting in for years that made the food taste even better and it extended the shelf life and maybe had other qualities, and then you discovered that it was harmful and it was causing illness. Mm-hmm. If the spirituality was at the same level as the technology, there would be no question about what to do next.
Right. And look at things like MSG that are still prevalent in our food. Yeah. So you were actually instructed by the record keepers to help other people gain access to the Akashic Records.
Yes.
I think that is so amazing. Can you just talk a little bit about that? And maybe while you're at it, tell us a little bit about ARI or ARI. I'm not sure how you say it, but
yeah. I received a message in a dream, and it was like a lucid dream. So I was traveling and teaching in Atlanta.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was with my host, and we were going to go for dinner. And she said, I really need to stop by this construction site where I'm building a new office. Do you mind if we stop here? I'll be 15 or 20 minutes. Do you want to come in? And I said, no, what I'd really like to do is take a cat nap. So I fell asleep in her car, in her warm car. And I woke up before she came back. And on my mind was a very clear message that an astrologer that I knew in Atlanta at the time, she's no longer in Atlanta, I don't think. Anyway, this astrologer had a message for me. And so when I called and left a message for her, and then we chatted the next day, I said, are you going to update my astrology chart? And she said, well, that's what I thought. And I said, before I tell you anything, I want you to understand, I don't do messages for people. That's not my gig. And so when I got your message that I was supposed to deliver a message to you, I immediately went, well, I'm supposed to update her astrology chart. And I was told, absolutely not. We have a message for her. And then she proceeded to give me this whole message. One of the pieces of the message was that I was being given access to a dimension that had been closed to humanity for eons. And number two, I was given a permanent guide who would be with me for the rest of my life. And then there were some other pieces of information that were of a very personal nature, which I have never shared with anyone. So that's how it started.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's quite amazing. You know, and I went back to the altar and said, hey, how come you didn't just deliver that message to me? And I was told, because you're so worried about aggrandizement and people who puff themselves up, that you would never have accepted this message directly. You had to hear it through someone else and let us reconfirm it with you personally, rather than the other way around.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. I've had the pleasure of learning from lots of people and lots of teachers. And what I have come to understand is that there are many teachers who are getting information from what I will call the realms of beyond that have other agendas. Think of Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn. And these otherworldly beings that are helping humanity are also running their own agendas. So yes. What that means is that you could learn something that's very beneficial and very high, and then learn something that's not true, or a falsity, if you will, and then learn something high again. And what are you gonna do? So that's one of the reasons why I tell people you absolutely have if you have a strong desire to move forward, it's in your best interest to learn how to access your higher self and be able to discern. And my position at this point is, you know what? Go study with everybody. Go study with anybody you're drawn to. But then if you feel like you've been told something that's not true and it doesn't resonate for you, you don't have to quit the teacher. Just quit buying that product. Just like if you go into a store for their lost leader items, you don't have to buy everything else, only if you want to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Practice your discernment.
Yes, that's exactly what I suggest for people too. And I tell them, if something I say doesn't feel right for you, far be it for me to say, you know, this is the way it is. This is how it has to be. You get to decide for you. Yeah, right. I love that. So, you know, you just brought up the higher self. Maybe we should tackle that question. We'll just give little bits about it. But it is so important to access the higher self when you're using the Akashic record. So do you want to just speak a bit to that?
Yes. Now, the higher self practice is a tool that I have been teaching for a very, very long time. And it started with me working with a teacher who said, you can't move forward on this piece without checking in with your higher self. And that was his standard statement to everyone who studied with him, not just me. I wasn't singled out to hear this message.
Right.
But when I began teaching that same material and then telling people, you have to check in with your higher self, the big question for my students was, well, how do you know if it's your higher self? How do you know this? How do you know that? And I felt like I didn't know either. And I remember that when I was finally given the green light to move forward with my own next step in that progress, in that program, a friend called and said, did you get permission from your higher self? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, and did you move forward? Did you do it? And I said, no. And he said, why not? And the answer that I didn't admit to him was, well, I knew my higher self told me it was okay, but I was worried that what if I was wrong? So I thought I would just stay where I'm at.
Right.
And we all do that. We all don't trust it. So once I began to work with this material, and it is very high, I began asking my higher self to teach me a tool that I could use to teach the students how to connect with their higher self and get accuracy. Because a lot of people will tell you, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. But I'm the only one out there putting my neck out and saying, if you do this, you will get 100% accuracy. Mm-hmm. And I have avoided car accidents by doing what my higher self said. Mm-hmm. I married the man of my dreams because my higher self said to, and I didn't think he was the right person. I could go on and on.
Yes. And I think we discussed this actually the last time I had you on the show, which that interview was just replayed just last week. So people can listen to that as well. But I love using my higher self to, I'll say it like this, to run the show, you know, and to remind my ego to sit and be here, be supportive, feel the love, you know, but let's let the higher self be in charge, because it really can make such a difference in everything that you do. So,
well, and what I believe is each of us should do our due diligence. So let's say you're going to buy a car. You look at all the cars. You have a conversation about how you're going to pay for it. You figure out, you know, what your list of things that you need. And then you go through all that and you maybe bring it down to three cars or two cars. And then you ask your higher self. Mm-hmm. This way you've satisfied your ego. And then your ego is not in a neediness place to tell you you're making a big mistake. So you don't have to deal with the doubt. The other thing that happens is when you go through this practice period of 45 days, what happens is you're being playful. You're only asking unimportant questions. So you get used to your higher self always being right. And that's a huge aha, because everybody makes decisions by way of looking at the past. You either read what Consumer Reports says, you read what somebody else wrote, you read the Yelp, whatever it is. You read other people's opinions. Then you have your own opinions. But these are all historical data. When you ask your higher self, you don't have any historical data until you do this practice. When you've done the practice for 45 days and you've asked, you know, 30 to 50 questions a day, you've got a lot of history that you are thinking about this and write about that and write about this and write about that. And you weren't even trying. You were just playing, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to play.
Yes, exactly. So let's shift now to talking about playing with the Akashic Records because I think there's so much exciting stuff there. And I know I was looking through your book and you have so many great stories that are examples of where people have used the Akashic Records. So would there be one that you could share that maybe shows how accessing the Akashic Records could help a person with their relationships?
I'll tell a story. I'll out myself.
Okay.
After my husband and I, first of all, when I was dating my husband, and it was a long distance romance and I didn't want a long distance romance. So I was kind of resistant, but every time I talked to him before we hung up, I would say, you know, I don't know why, but I am afraid of you. Every single time. And there was nothing he had done that would be inappropriate. There was nothing he had ever said that would make you worried. It didn't make sense, but that was the feeling I had. After we were married, I don't know, maybe 6 months or something, we went on a trip together. We actually, I came in from Scotland and he came in from Seattle and we landed in the same city and then, you know, started our little trip in Europe. And I had a very physical reaction, and in the hospital in this third world European country, they said, we think you should go home. We think you may have had a heart attack and we do not have the equipment to take care of you.
Oh, wow.
So I came home and I went to New York because that's where all my doctors were. And my husband went to Seattle where his life was. And I did a lot of energy work and the doctors could not find any evidence of what they had found in this European country. So then I said, well, then I'm just going to go to Seattle. I don't have to stay here if there's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I began having these experiences where I would wake up and I was in serious pain every morning. And it would last for about a half an hour and then I would be fine. And the pain would be so bad that I would get up out of bed and drop to my knees. So I began wondering what was going on. I knew that it was energetic because it wasn't lasting all day. I had a good friend and a colleague, if you will, somebody who had studied with me, but who was also an ER doc. And I was calling him saying, what do you think? And he'd say, well, if you think you need to go to the emergency room, you better go. But, you know, that's up to you. And I said, yeah, but what do you really think? Do you think it's energetic like I do? And he said, yeah, I do. So that nailed it for me. So we started going into the Akashic Records to ask what had happened. And I had been, my husband and I had been a king and a queen in this particular country. And when we landed there, in this lifetime, we went right into a portal where we connected with that version of ourselves.
Oh, wow.
And so, and this happens to people and they don't know that it's happening. So they have, you know, a whole different set of circumstances to describe what has happened. So in my case, this went on for months and months and months. And in the process, when we went into the records, we found out that I had been stabbed in the spot where I was experiencing this excruciating pain. And then there's a part of the story that I'm going to leave out for now, but it has to do with, I'll call it trading places, and just say that I was experiencing the pain of the lifetime
right.
that I was with him. So we finally got that I had died from this wound. And so we healed it and we, you know, did some work on it. And in the records, I had my records open and I was with another one of the guides that I have trained and she had my records open. So two people were in my records, me and her. And when we got off the phone and got all the information on how it happened and what had happened, my husband looked at me and said, you didn't close your records yet. And I said, there's one more question. And he said, what? And I said, ask who did it. Mm. And I knew the answer. And I'm sure your audience knows the answer, right?
I'm thinking.
And he started to cry when the answer came in because it was him.
Right.
And So then we went back in the records and we asked more information. And after about 2 months, we got the information that the woman that he had beaten with the blunt end of a knife and then apparently stabbed her in his anger just happened to be pregnant with another man's baby. Mm. So that's no reason, I suppose, in some cultures at that time, maybe that was okay, but it wasn't okay in ours.
No.
And so anyway, that was a very interesting, very intense, deep experience. And some people will relate to this, even though it sounds pretty off the wall. In other cases, people use the records to discover that the reason the person they are having difficulty with is because that person is feeling a whole set of emotions that they didn't know about. And the minute you realize, or in this, some cases in the records, you actually feel the emotion, like one mother who felt the emotion of her daughter being afraid, you have so much compassion when that happens, because, you know, if you could feel the stress or the fear or the whatever it is, the emotion that's causing someone to act out in a way that you don't think is acceptable, and then you discover that it's coming from their unresolved emotion, and then you find yourself in their soup of that emotion, you are filled with so much love and compassion for them, because you have a great compassion for their agony. And when you come out of that, after being in the records, you don't have the need to be right. You don't have the need to have your way, because you suddenly have so much compassion for the other person. This is why it's called for soul growth, because the minute you expand your awareness, and the Akashic Records are in the 11th dimension, we're currently vacillating between third and fifth. So this is why I like people to learn how to do the higher self connection, because that locks you into five. And then from fifth, you can launch. And fifth dimension is a place of non-polarity as compared with where many of us are when we're thinking about, oh, that guy shouldn't have driven that way, or that person just jumped the line, or whatever it is. You know, we're noticing when people behave what they do, you know, so.
Right. Nice. You know, I really love in the book how you create such a beautiful picture of what the Akashic Records are. So if people are listening to this and going, okay, but I don't get what this is, all you need is Maureen's book, because it explains it in a way that, for me anyway, created a real picture of this flowing energy that changes depending on the decisions that you make. So you're not locked into anything, but it also provides so much insight, as you just said so eloquently, about, you know, what's going on for you, what you're feeling, why you're feeling that, how it opens the door to compassion for others that you're dealing with. So I love all of that. Now, I'm hoping we will have time for you to talk a little bit about accessing your kids' records and why it's not recommended. Mm. But we're getting into the last few minutes of the show, so I do want to make sure that people are able to access the gift that you're offering. So would you mind just sharing what this gift is and how people can get to it?
All right. So this class is actually being taught live by me and another Akashic Records teacher called Lumari. Now, she does not teach people how to go into the Akashic Records. She is a scribe and a brilliant channel. And she had what I will call the conversation you and I would want to have with the actual energy that is in the Akashic Records. So try to imagine this giant place where there's beings that embody the energy or the books or the movies. And then there's other beings that move through this energy and access information and bring it to the threshold. So she had this lovely conversation with these beings in her book about the Akashic Records. Is a huge compliment to my book. And she wrote the foreword to my book. We're very good friends. So this masterclass that we're offering is starting, actually we'll have started by the time we air this, and it is an opportunity to learn from us about the Akashic Records, what it's like to be working with the Akashic Record keepers, and the kinds of qualities that you need to have in order to really access this information and have accurate information come through.
Nice. And so how would they get access to this?
They are going to go to the link that we are going to post with you or on our website. I guess we're going to have a landing page on it. And then they'll just give us their email and they'll have the ability to download it right away.
Okay, so they would go, we will provide a link for them. You can go to marinestgermain.com just to see all the wonderful things that Maureen has. And Saint Germain is STGERMAIN.com. So Maureen, you can probably spell that one, MAUREEN, saintgermain.com. And you can find out all the wonderful things that Maureen offers. You can get through there. I highly recommend you sign up on for her list anyways, because she offers all kinds of beautiful meditations and such that you can have access to. And her books, her resources, all of them are just absolutely fantastic. You can also get her book, Opening the Akashic Records, right now from Amazon. So if you go there and Google it, you will see there are other books very close. So look for her name. Make sure you get the right name, the right book. And yeah, we'll put that link up for you. So Maureen, we have run right out of time. And so we're not going to get to go back to that question, but I will put something up on the blog that will tell people about going in and asking questions about their kids and why that's not necessarily recommended. So thank you, Maureen, so much for sharing your wisdom, for all that you do. Really, I so appreciate you. And I'm so happy that our lines have crossed, our paths have crossed in this lifetime. And thank you. Yeah, and thanks for sharing.
I want to tell one thing to all the parents as you listen. If your child is fearless, you need to know why, and it's in that material. We will discuss that.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much, Maureen. A big thank you to you, my listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Maureen Saint Germain, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.